It is the College Tribe Podcast every Wednesday right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find us on the ESPN Pensacola website. And believe it or not, it's called ESPNPensacola.com. I know, right? Who would have thought of that? You can find us in the local podcast page for all for this episode, but also all previous episodes of the College Tribe Podcast, along with some other podcast episodes that we have uploaded from other shows, including Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass, the Roll Tide Radio Show, and War Eagle Weekly. So all kinds of sports assortments for you there. But of course, I'm your host, Austin Price. Episode 16. Of the College Tribe Podcast. Quite impressive, if I do say so myself. Very happy to have made it this far. And also want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving, of course. Thanksgiving being tomorrow. Hope you all eat, drink, be merry, but more importantly, be safe. And let's get right into it, shall we? Because even though this is a week of joyous relaxation, I still have a lot to say about college football. Who would have thought that, right? Of course, we got rivalry week on the horizon, but last night we got the college football playoff rankings coming out, the latest installment, and I do have a few concerns, not many, but they are very pressing. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Looking at the top 15 here, one going down. We got Oregon, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, those guys unchanged. Number 5, Notre Dame. Number 6, Miami. Number 7, Georgia. Number 8, Tennessee. Number 9, SMU, finally got some top 10 status. Number 10, Indiana, that's huge. Keep your ear out for that one because we're going to come back to that. Number 11, Boise State. Number 12, Clemson. Number 13, Alabama. We'll get on them in just a moment. Number 14, Ole Miss, that's important as well. And number 15, South Carolina. So we got the Big Ten sitting pretty at the top. We got the SEC sitting pretty at the bottom. And we just got some cute, hopeful stories in between. All right. So first thing I noticed, Indiana. It was a pretty unfortunate weekend for them. They were supposed to prove that they were the man, right? They were supposed to prove that they are for real. They are not a beneficiary of a terrible schedule. They are as real as they look. Give them some respect. 7-0 lead on Ohio State, baby. There we go. Ohio State can't get nothing going early. We're shutting them down. Uh-oh. We're getting ran off the field from here on out, and we lose 38-15. That was the story of the Indiana Hoosiers this weekend. And the craziest part is that they still won. If you want the truth, I think Indiana is the biggest winner of the weekend and the first winner of a weekend where they got ran off the field. Because the SEC had such chaos that I think Indiana just had their playoff hopes spared. I felt this way and many others did as well. If you put a one-loss Indiana in a gaggle of two-loss SEC teams, you are not going to win that argument. You will not win an argument against Alabama. You will not win an argument against Ole Miss. You will not win an argument against A&M. They would all have better wins than you. They would all be in better shape than you. Well, luckily for Indiana, all of those teams lost. Alabama lost 24-3 to Oklahoma. Again, more on them in a moment. Ole Miss lost to Florida. We'll really touch a lot on Florida later. And Texas A&M? Getting tripped up at Auburn. I knew that was a big one. I knew Auburn was scrappy. And they did it. 4 overtimes. Shootout, but they did it. So all of those teams now have 3 losses each. And Indiana is sitting in the top 10. And they don't have to play in the Big Ten title game. And they are a team that benefits from avoiding their conference title game. They are in that position. So all they have to do this weekend is beat a 1-win Purdue, and they are most likely in the playoff based on what we're seeing currently. That is phenomenal. If you are a Hoosier fan, first of all, what the heck are you doing in the panhandle? Second of all, thanks for listening. Third of all, my goodness, you got to be on cloud 9. So they're the first team I've ever seen lose by what, 23? I want to say the score was 38-15. They're the first team I've ever seen lose that bad and still be the biggest winner from a weekend. Let's move on to my other takeaway, Alabama. So if you don't remember, Alabama's 13th. That means that when including Arizona State, who's the highest ranked Big 12 team today, if I'm not mistaken, Alabama would be the second team out behind Clemson if the playoffs happened today. Why? Why is Alabama still in this conversation, even remotely? Oh, well, Austin, it's not like they're still in the top 12. Oh, well, Austin, it's not like they're the first team out. They are the second team out. There is a barrier. I don't care. Alabama, today, their playoff hopes should be zero. That should be their chance to make the playoff today. Zero. You are 100% confirmed not to make it. I don't care about their quality win over Georgia. They now have three losses, two of which are to 6-5 teams. And of those two, one saw them give up 40 points against Vanderbilt, and the other saw them just now get shut down 24-3. And if I'm not mistaken, that's the first time they've been held to just a field goal since 2004. So by at least one criterion, they just had their worst loss in 20 years. And Bama fanboys and fangirls were all about, oh, the toughest and only the toughest should make the bracket. That was their talk last year. Well, those same people, I'm asking you now, does Alabama look tough enough? Do they look like they can compete after getting smeared by the Sooners? Or, no. Is it all of a sudden about being deserving again? Because remember, for the years before 2023, it was all about deserving prevailing over toughness. Then when Alabama wasn't deserving, oh, it's all about toughness. Well, now you're clearly not tough enough. Is it about deserving again? And if you think so, who the heck is saying you're deserving? How is an 8-3 team who's gotten beat up like this deserving? I saw one source last night that said no other team in America would get this kind of treatment. None. And how can you disagree with that? And like, you can bring up strength of schedule. You can bring up SEC, but I'm not interested. You know why I'm not interested in the whole SEC argument? Because Ole Miss is below Alabama. Remember, Alabama's 13th, Ole Miss is 14th. Why is Ole Miss still below Alabama? If this is an SEC thing, and it's a strength of schedule thing, and it's a statement win thing, then why is Ole Miss below Alabama? You have the same record. You're both 8-3. The Rebels, I think, have had what are arguably, at least overall, better-looking losses. I mean, sure, they didn't have a loss as good as by 7 at Tennessee, but they also didn't lose to a 6-5 Oklahoma 24-3. In fact, they beat Oklahoma by double digits. Sure, they lost to Kentucky. That was rough. But they also lost in overtime at LSU. So while their quality of losses on paper may be worse, they lost by less margins. They were able to beat up on Oklahoma. Alabama wasn't. You had LSU beating Ole Miss, and LSU got killed by Alabama, so I guess that cancels out. But then you got to look at the common wins that you share. Georgia lost to Bama by 7. Georgia lost to Ole Miss by 18. Georgia was struggling far more by the end of the game with Ole Miss than they were with Alabama. What about South Carolina? Didn't South Carolina go to Tuscaloosa and lose by 2? But South Carolina also hosted Ole Miss, I believe, and lost, 27-3? So Ole Miss has looked better against common wins. They have looked better in common wins against ranked opponents. By some fashion, their losses are arguably better because they didn't get smeared by anybody. And they have the same record. But they are a spot below Bama today? You lose in the swamp by a touchdown, and that justifies you being below Oklahoma, who beat you by 21? They beat Bama by 21. I mean, I think I'm rambling at this point. I think my brain is starting to devour itself, so maybe I should just stop speaking. I feel like I'm losing my own thoughts here, so I can't even imagine how you're feeling. But make it make sense. The quality of losses, when you combine who you lost to and by how much, are arguable, in my opinion. Ole Miss has the same record as you. They had a better loss this last weekend than you did. And they have better looking wins over the quality opponents that y'all share, that y'all have both beaten. I don't know how Bama's ranked higher. And that's my point. No other team would get this benefit of the doubt. No other team would get this soft-handed treatment like what Alabama's getting. Not even a fellow SEC team. This is not the SEC bias you always hear about. It is Bama bias. We've talked about both. And this is an instance of it. Bama bias, by definition, is when, yeah, the SEC gets a lot of love, but this SEC team or that SEC team just doesn't have the crimson brand of the Alabama Crimson Tide. They just don't. Alabama will get the nod over them at any point, any time. Just say the reason, and we'll make it happen. That's how the committee operates. And it's sickening. You want the truth? I think that is more detrimental to the integrity of these rankings and of the college football hierarchy than transfer portal and NIL ever could be. I genuinely think it is. And I especially think that way when you consider the effects that these kinds of rankings and this kind of favoritism can have on NIL, the types of effects it can have on the transfer portal. It is so frustrating to watch. If you're not an Alabama fan, you're just rolling your eyes and saying, typical. It's typical. Speaking of which, I also find it funny that with the way the rankings sit right now, if any team or teams are going to be passed up in favor of Alabama, they're most likely going to be from the ACC. I find that funny too. Think about it. Clemson's just one spot ahead of Alabama. They face a decently ranked South Carolina this weekend. South Carolina's 15th. If the Tigers lose, which they very well could, they're definitely going to fall below the Tide, right? And then from there, just one more team has to fall out of place for Alabama to make the bracket, at least when going by today's rankings. And I can't help but notice that SMU is ranked 9th. That's a good ranking for them. But if the Mustangs beat a mediocre Cal and then lose to Miami in the ACC title game, which, by the way, is the turn of events that's currently expected, they will be 11-2 to Alabama's hypothetical 9-3. Both of their losses will be to teams that are currently in the top 20, and one of which was in the conference title game. Something that Alabama wasn't good enough to make. But in spite of it all, can you genuinely look me in the eyes right now and tell me that if SMU loses another game, they're getting in over Alabama? They're sitting there in the rankings right next to the Tide, and the committee turns the Tide away in favor of SMU? You can't tell me that, can you? Because you know, just like I do, that Bama's going to get that favoritism. If they'd get it over Ole Miss, a fellow SEC team, if their brand and their superiority is that strong, you best believe they are going to get that edge over SMU, a team that is already having the groundwork laid to be thrown in a conversation with the Tide. You already know that's going to happen. If SMU beats Cal and loses to Miami, and Alabama sits at 9-3, you're going to have an SMU that has a pretty sound argument. But the committee is probably going to put SMU as being one of the first teams out and Alabama one of the last teams in. And then people are going to tell you, oh, well, it's strength of schedule that matters. It's strength of schedule that matters. Well, if Alabama, if it's just that tough for you, then get the heck out of the SEC. What are you still doing in there? If you just can't compete and dadgummit, it's just so darn brutal out here, then get out. But you're not gonna, because you still want those tens of millions that you get in the SEC every year, and you still want the clout that comes with it. Just say it like it is. You want to pass for failure. That's what you want. And I can't believe we are about to sit here and once again watch the committee give it to you. In favor of who? An ACC team. That everyone but the committee thinks has proven itself enough. Oh my gosh. It's just sickening. I'm going to lose my voice. I don't even know if I have been able to keep on a linear trajectory when talking about this matter. So I'm just going to move on. And I'll start by saying that before we get into Floridian representation, I just want to remind you that you're listening to the College Try Podcast. I'm Austin Price. You can listen on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. And you can also listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Whew. All right. I'm off the soapbox, and I need to be. I'll listen back over that. I don't even know if any of that made a lick of sense, but I am just, you just need to know that Alabama is getting special treatment and I'm upset about it. Moving on to some Floridian representation here. Miami beat up on Wake Forest 42-14. And listen, that's about a final score you would have expected. I think my prediction was 49-17. So 42-14 is pretty par for the course. Here's my problem. Miami, with under 10 minutes to go, closer to 8 minutes to go, almost halfway through the fourth quarter, the score was 20-14, Canes. They were only up by 6 whopping points. Man, this is the latest installment of Miami waking up late against a mediocre opponent. And I understand that it's not how you start, it's how you finish. However, Miami's being allowed room for error in these struggle wins that most top teams wouldn't give them, especially so late in the game. They now go to 8-3 Syracuse, and I imagine that'll be a challenge for them. Maybe another game where they pull away late or they have a slow start. Just to give you a bit of a recap of what Miami's season has had, they had a slow start against USF, had to pull away to win big late. They struggled with Vatek and had botched officiating bail them out of a loss. They were down by 25 points to a mediocre Cal. They had to fight back and still had controversial officiating late to help them win by 1 point. They played Duke, one of their better-looking wins. They beat Duke 53-31. Oh, but they were down by double digits in the second half. And mind you, yeah, sure, Duke's 8-3, but it's a weak 8-3. Then you had the whole game against Georgia Tech, which you actually lost because Georgia Tech just owns you for some reason. And then you played Wake. You were at home, coming off a bye week, hosting the Demon Deacons, who have one of the worst defenses, especially on the passing end, that I have ever seen. And it's 20-14 halfway through the fourth quarter. You disgust me. That is just terrible. Well, how am I supposed to look at you? I criticized Miami on social media, and people went for my jugular. How am I supposed to look at you and say, yes, yes, you, Miami, you are for real? I can't say that. Because I sit here and I'm like, Wake's giving you a scare. Would Ohio State give you a scare? Would Texas give you a scare? Would Oregon give you a scare? Would Penn State give you a scare? Would Notre Dame give you a scare? No. If you had given those teams the chance to pull away from you like you gave Wake chances to do so, you'd be ran off the field. Oh, well, we shut down Wake and pulled away late. That's all that matters. Yeah, against a terrible Wake Forest team. I'm a Wake Forest fan. I watch them every week. I can wholeheartedly tell you they're not that good at football. No one cares that you beat up on them. They want to know how you do it. I've often been a supporter of weak schedules. If you beat up on everybody, I'm fine with it. The problem is you don't decide to wake up until you're three quarters into a game. That may work against Wake Forest. You may have the ability to survive that against Wake Forest. Not against any competent program that claims to be a contender. No, you're done if that happens. Get it together or you won't win jack. Moving on, Florida stunned Ole Miss. Mentioned this earlier. We knew they could do that. They are now 6-5 with Billy Napier's seat being rather cold, dare I say. They now travel to Tallahassee to take on the Seminoles, and I hate to say it, but they shouldn't need much luck there. Speaking of the Seminoles, they did exactly as I predicted. They beat Charleston Southern 41-7. Look, go to the local podcast page on ESPNPensacola.com and look at our last episode, episode 15. I said Florida State would win this game 41-7, and they did. But for the record, this is unrelated, but I also said that Arizona State would beat BYU 27-23, and the final score was 28-23. So, yeah, what can I say? I was on my game last week. Anyway, UCF fell to West Virginia in not-so-stunning 31-21 fashion. They are no longer fighting for a bowl berth, but that doesn't change that they host fellow 4-7 team Utah on Black Friday, and the Utes have lost all of their games consecutively, so who knows, man? Maybe UCF can finish on a high note. Then we got USF. They beat the snot out of Tulsa, as we knew they would. They won 63-30. Wow, didn't expect that. They are bowl-bound. They now head to 3-8 Rice. That should be easy money. Speaking of becoming bowl eligible, the South Alabama Jaguars. I decided to give them some love last week. They reached bowl berth time by beating up on one-win wonder Southern Miss 35-14. They host Texas State, who's also 6-5. On Black Friday. So that's not bad. That's not bad. We got some bowl eligible teams in there. Got something. We got chances to finish the season high. That's uplifting. trying to be uplifting this holiday season, regardless of how my throat's already shot from screaming earlier. All right, getting into some score predictions here. These are the Black Friday games, getting them out of the way in order. South Alabama, I got them beating Texas State. Pretty competitive game. It's an under-the-radar thriller to kind of help you start your holiday weekend. I got them winning 34-27. I think that's fair. Also on Black Friday, UCF beating Utah 28-20. I think that's reasonable. I don't know. It's a go-either-way game. Utah's just really struggled, and they've been competitive in games, just like UCF has. They just can't catch a break. I'll take UCF, home team. Utah's at an all-time low, so you're not really going to put it into record books. Florida and Florida State, my goodness. I got Florida winning this one, 33-10. They're just too much to handle for the Noles. What do you want from me? I mean, what do you want me to say? They're too much for the Noles. Most teams have been. South Florida and Rice. Okay. I got this one being pretty big. 44-17. The Owls, as I said, 3-8. I guess you could say USF will bulldoze into the postseason. Get it? All right, moving on. Miami, number 6, hosting Syracuse. I didn't put the home team here. I'm pretty sure it's Syracuse. I got a script here. I'm usually pretty good at putting the home team, but whatever. I believe this is in the JMA Wireless Dome. As I said, the Orange are 8-3. So they're like top 3 team that Miami has faced this season. So that may give the Hurricanes a bit of a scare. Miami knows that there's a lot riding on this. Last time that they had a huge game after a great start to their season late in the year, it was 2017. They played Pitt. And they lost. This could be a repeat of that. I don't know. But I think Miami wins, as I said, 38-16. I think it is yet another game that was closer than the final score implies. I'll take Miami pulling away late. So I don't think they face the Pitt upset that they had several years ago when they had a great season then. Alrighty. Some of the other big games nationally. Thanksgiving Day has one game, and it's a doozy, at least on paper. You got number 17, Tulane, hosting Memphis. Both of these teams are 9-2. Give me Tulane, though. I think they win convincingly. They're trying to end their season on a bang. They've been a really great team to watch this year. Very fun story the past few years, actually. I got them winning 34-18. They win by a couple scores, try to put the Tigers in the dirt. But Memphis, still a good team. Number 24, Kansas State. They travel to number 18, Iowa State. And I've got K-State winning convincingly. I've got this being 36-21. Iowa State, I feel like they're just pretty weak. I think Kansas State's a pretty darn good team. Iowa State, they're good. But I think there is a visible gap between the two. So I'll take K-State even on the road in a tough rivalry game. I'll take them to win big there. Number 2, Ohio State hosts Michigan. I'm simply touching on this because it's a big rivalry and it's getting a lot of hype. Ohio State will probably win big. I'm taking 37-14. Then we got Clemson hosting South Carolina. We mentioned this game earlier. This is number 12 hosting number 15. Playoff indicative game. South Carolina is trying to sit here and convince themselves and everybody else that they still have a playoff path. I guess you can't 100% rule it out if you're 15th. But Clemson's really on the cusp. They're one of just a couple teams in Bama's way. I think South Carolina goes on the road and gets it done. Knocks Clemson off 31-27. One heck of a rivalry game. And I think Alabama gets one step closer to the playoff. And then we got Texas A&M and Texas. This is number 20 hosting number 3. I'm really going out on a limb with this one. 27-21, give me the Aggies. Auburn was a trap game. We knew it would be, and we knew why. And the Horns have not impressed me. So when you've got the Aggies looking ahead to this game, it costing them, they're gonna hate the Longhorns even more, if anything. They are ready to play spoiler and just expose these new coming Longhorns who think they're all that in a bag of chips. As I said, Longhorns most recently played Kentucky. Wasn't that great of a game. They pulled away to win by 3 scores. It was just an average game against a mediocre SEC team, and that's been the story of Texas's life this season. So give me the Aggies. I think they win in Kyle Field there because I think they've been prepping so much for this that Auburn was able to beat them. Alrighty, upset alerts. Typically, we just have a few, but man, there's a ton to work with here. So before I get into it, I will give you one last reminder that this is the College Try with Austin Price. You can find it on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com, and you can also listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Alrighty. Upset alerts. Number one that I've got here, Georgia Tech at Georgia. This is a Black Friday game and quite a game it's going to be. Georgia's number 7 in the country, but they've had dips in their performance that exposed them as, you know, as a contender that's difficult to commit to. Georgia Tech's their hated rival. That's a formidable 7-4 on the season. I mean, Miami's not great, but they're good. Georgia Tech was able to beat them. They're looking for an 8-win regular season. It just sounds a bit dicey. It sounds a bit questionable. Georgia's not out of that one. As far as, oh, we're going to win it, it's easy money, we're set. No, you're not out of the woods with Georgia Tech looming over you. Especially considering, I want to say last year, their matchup was pretty competitive, right? Wasn't it? All right, moving on. Number 5, Notre Dame at USC. Notre Dame, they're another team that's sitting real high. They've fed on the weak for several weeks now, and they rarely face talent under coaching like Lincoln Riley's. So you combine that with going on the road. Yikes, that's all I can say. Number 16, Arizona State at Arizona. This rivalry's always been tricky. Arizona's a really disappointing team this season. Arizona State couldn't be further from. But now the Sun Devils, they got their heads in the clouds, man. They're looking like the Big 12 front runners. They're sitting pretty. They got to travel to Tucson with that stuff on their mind. Yeah, Arizona. Not saying they're going to win, but I think they may give the Sun Devils a bit of a shock. Then we got number 23, Illinois at Northwestern. Man, Northwestern, you never know what to make of this team week by week, season by season. They're not that good of a team this year, but they're at home trying to play spoiler against a rival, and it's a barely ranked rival at that. It's simply a matter of not knowing what I could be expecting here, or what I should be expecting, rather. Number 8, Tennessee travels to Vandy. Vandy hasn't been a pushover in this rivalry over the past several years like you'd think they would. Vandy's actually been more competitive, especially leading up to the Josh Heupel era. And while Tennessee has improved since those days, so has Vandy, of course. And the Commodores are at home, so they're looking to play spoiler here, looking to really end their season on a bang because they've kind of fallen out of the national spotlight hype. So I say Vandy gives them a scare. I'll still take Tennessee to win. Again, these are just upset alerts, but you can't count Vandy out there. And if you can, I think that's a bigger win for Tennessee than it would look like on paper. UTSA at Army. This is the only one that I'm covering that doesn't have a ranked team in it. Army just fell out of the rankings after getting exposed by Notre Dame. Once again, congrats, Irish. Woo, you're really tough. I don't know what you want me to say. The Roadrunners, they're on a tear. That included beating 9-2 Memphis. So UTSA is not a pushover. Army's been officially deflated, of course. So I think Army could just be in a defeated mode here. I think that's the state that Notre Dame left Navy in. I could see that happening at least against UTSA. Maybe not against anybody, but the Roadrunners are scrappy. Then we got Auburn at number 13, Alabama. You can never count Auburn out in this rivalry, but gosh, especially not now with them beating a ranked conference opponent. I mean, come on. And they're also on the verge of the postseason. Bama just got shut down by OU again. We touched on that earlier, and I got very upset about it. I apologize. Auburn could be hungover, and Bama could have been looking past the Sooners, but no matter what, we can't pretend that this game is going to be some done deal. I'm hoping it's cinema, just like last year's was. And then last but not least, we got Arkansas at number 21, Missouri. Yeah, man, I mentioned Texas earlier, not impressing me. Mizzou certainly hasn't. They've been decent. They still are decent. But the Tigers have proven they are certainly beatable. I mean, because that's the truth. They're beatable. If you can get ran off the field by decent SEC competition, not even great SEC competition, and you can lose to South Carolina the way that you did, and you struggle against guys like Auburn, how am I supposed to sit here and think that you're just going to be some easy win over Arkansas? How am I supposed to think that? Arkansas is a bowl team. They're trying to win this game and go into the postseason with hopes of finishing with 8 wins. Sam Pittman's really trying to make a case for himself here because his job's been kind of a matter of debate. His job security, that is. And you got to remember last year. What did we see last year? We saw Missouri decimate Arkansas 48-10. And, it was pretty ugly. Not just by score, but also by lack of discipline. It's not much of a rivalry historically, but these guys hate each other. And Arkansas is out for blood, just like they were against Texas. We knew Arkansas hated them and circled them on the calendar. And what do you know? That was a close game. This one might be along that same thread. You've been listening to the College Try Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price, every Wednesday, at least for now, on ESPNPensacola.com. You can find us on the local podcast page at that site. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Happy Thanksgiving. Eat, drink, be merry, and be safe. Just like I said earlier, safety is key, followed by spending some good time with family. We'll see you next week.